And we're back. The Could Have Been Champions Saturday soiree for the next couple of hours here on ABC Local Radio, ABC Digital, and streaming online. Billy Baxter, Ian Cover, and Jeff Richardson.
And we often remark here on the Could Have Beens, and it often comes up as a magic moment during our Magic Moments segment, that you often, quite regularly, very frequently,
yes,
go past a cricket ground, you see one ball bowled, and what happens?
A wicket falls.
A wicket falls.
But I think Billy's taken that to a whole new level by walking past a bowling rink.
Yeah.
Seeing, a ball draw to the jack.
Right up to the jack, kiss the jack. Well, I just happened to go out during the break to get a cup of water, and there's lots of TVs on it.
Too many.
A cricket game was on?
A cricket game was on. I don't know if it was live or a replay or whatever. I looked up. A fellow ran in and bowled. The batsman swished at it, nicked it, and was duly taken by the keeper.
Oh, well, it clearly isn't the current one-day series for Australia and India.
What about that the other night? I happened to be at a function, and when I repaired...
Mm. Oh, were you cocko hoop at how the Aussies were just...
Well, I repaired and saw that we'd made 359 off 50. I thought, oh, that's pretty good. Then I happened to see India start batting, and they were none for 70 very quickly, and then they were one for 130. So, surely can't lose from there. I woke up and turned the telly on in the morning and the bedside radio at the same time, and both reported India had not only surpassed Australia's score, they'd done it for the loss of one wicket with 6.5 overs to spare.
You know what that means, don't you?
What?
Cricket's a funny game.
Oh, boy, cricket was an hysterical game.
Also, I think the boundary may have been somewhere in the vicinity of that window you're sitting next to.
And they
got them at 11 runs and over.
Oh, yeah. And the pitch was duly described as a road, but there you go. More than 700 runs scored. That's value for the spectators.
Yes.
Do you think that's what the spectators want to see?
Yeah, no.
Well, that's what they saw.
Yeah, that's what they saw. Mm. Well, they've been playing the Australian one-day domestic competition in Sydney over the last couple of weeks. It's got a week or so to go.
Mm.
And they've been playing on Sydney, you know, smaller grounds like North Sydney and Bankstown Oval and Des Moines and all. There was one the other day I was watching, and fair dinkum, it was about 25 or 30 metres to the, you know, the point boundary. You only had to sort of just nudge one square of the wicket, then it was four. So I got the feeling...
That's what's wrong with cricket these days. You never see a run five anymore, do you?
No. In fact, they put up some stats at one stage, and there'd been 18 fours and 17 ones. And that was all. That's all four.
Yeah.
So I get the feeling that ground in India the other night had similarly proportioned boundaries because it was...
I think it's the kind of ground they use regularly for those IPL games. Yeah.
So, anyway, I've had my an early magic tonight by seeing one bit of footage on a telly out in the hallway and a wicket fell.
What state will you be in when the Ashes start?
Later in this program, we will share our magic moments. And in this hour, we will be talking to the captain of the Geraldton Pennant Bowls teams.
Mm.
And directly, Greg Williams will share his music.
In the very center of my soul is an eye from which emerges a soul. I just wish I knew what the soul was for.
That's Cass McCombs and Name Written in Water. Could Have Been Champions Saturday soiree. Great to have your company. Joining us in the studio is a good friend of the Could Have Beens. I was going to say an old friend, but a long time friend of the Could Have Beens, Greg Williams. Hello, Greg.
Thank you for having me.
Good to see you again.
And you.
Here, here.
All of you.
We go back a long way.
An awfully long way, actually. Do we need to tell how long?
Yes, I believe we do.
Yeah, I think we do. We owe it to ourselves.
Maybe about 30 years.
Yeah. I think it goes about 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You came over in the influx of Adelaide musicians who hit Melbourne in...
Early 80s.
Early 80s, yeah.
Yeah, I think it started before me, too, because James Black was one of the earlier ones, and
There was Kelly, there was
J.J. Hackett, the drummer.
Yes, the Fabs came over. Fabulous.
Greg Champion.
Oh.
Awful lot of Adelaide people in Melbourne. I still meet them all.
Yeah, I know. They're all here.
Yeah.
And, of course, we should share with our listeners that Greg Champion, who's not here tonight, shared the stage with you in a fabulous band called the Young Homebuyers.
He certainly did. Early 80s. Power pop sort of thing.
And you were on Countdown.
Yes. Oh, yes, we were. Yeah. I'll fess up to it.
So when you got to go on Countdown, but way back then, did you think, right, this is it, we've made it now?
Yeah, that's actually all we thought we had to do.
Yeah, once you've been on Countdown, that was it. The next thing is going to be the villa, the yacht. Hmm. It's all just going to happen.
Yeah, everything will fall into place because that's what happens. I was Facebooking the other night, and a friend of mine in Adelaide was posting some of his trivia, and I said, "You're probably the only person in the universe interested in my scrapbook." And so I put up a page which was a letter from the record company imploring us not to be late for Countdown and telling us how important this was for our career. Yeah. You know, like I said, like we were going to be late for that one. I don't think it was going to happen.
And, of course, you were bang on time and you sat around for 3 hours.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, we did get a glimpse of Molly in the hallway.
How many singles did you have, the Home Buyers?
I think from that, the one major label record, there were a couple. There was the Take One Step and then She's a Girl.
She's a Girl.
Yeah. And because this all sounds so quaint now, talking about record companies it and major does, labels. No one
quaint
even thinks
actually,
about them anymore. Yeah,
quaint is actually the word.
Well, the Home Buyers is ancient history. Mm. Your incarnation now, your performing incarnation is Splurge.
That's right.
But Splurge has been going for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, it has. It came as a bit of a surprise to all of us because I was writing the press release and I said to Nev, "Do you know when we started?" And he goes, "Oh, I don't know, sometime, you know." Yeah, but it's been 15 years. I mean, on and off, as bands go, you know. Yeah. And that's kind of, it's kind of why we're doing things again now because we remembered we were a band.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've marked the occasion with, you gave me a hard copy, but it's basically a digital download.
It's a download album, but we're making it available through our Possible campaign, through a crowdfunding campaign trying to use to record and mix the new record.
Okay, well, the collection of songs is Unheard Splurge, a selection of rarities.
Yeah, and this started a couple of years ago, actually, because one of the tracks was put on a Pop Boomerang compilation.
Uh-huh.
And we did a gig, and we hadn't done a gig for a while, and everyone looked at one another and went, "God, that was a bit of fun, wasn't it?"
Yeah.
And that was sort of the impetus to get back to playing music together again.
That's nice.
Yeah, and then so I went looking for other things in the archives, and I found two or three songs that we'd all overlooked.
Are they songs that you wrote?
Yes, yeah, they're all of these ones are.
Well, I bet you couldn't play one for us.
Oh, I could try.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, have a crack.
Be spontaneous.
Yeah.
I'll do my best. It's funny getting these songs out because, you know, I hadn't played them since they were dropped from the record that they were intended for. And you know what they say about outtakes? There's a reason why they're outtakes, but I'm trying to prove that makes them wrong. So this song's called Kiss Me, and it was on... it was destined for The Cure for The Cure, which is our last released record, but somehow it didn't fit in with all the other ones. So, yeah.
Kiss me, don't kiss me, please. Tease me, don't be a tease. Make me, don't make me, please. Ah, please, ah, please. Ah, please, ah, please. Touch me, don't touch me where I don't care, don't make me care. Take me, don't take me there. Ah, please, ah, please, ah, please. 'Cause my mouth is open wide, sucking the air. It makes me feel alive. Be here now, don't be here. I want you, don't want you near. I'm so scared, but I love the fear. Ah, please, ah, please, ah, please, ah, please, ah, please, kiss me. Don't
me, I don't tell me you love me. Let me, don't let me be. I please, I please, I please, I please. Mess me, don't mess with me. Free me, I can't be free. Believe me, I don't want to believe. I please, I please, I please. 'Cause my heart is open wide, pumping my blood. It makes me feel alive. Kiss me, don't kiss me, please. Tease me, don't be a tease. Make me, don't make me, please. I please, I please, I please, I please. I please, I please, I please, I please. I please, kiss me. Don't kiss me.
Greg Williams in our studios with a splurge nugget unearthed recently for Splurge's 15th anniversary, Unheard Splurge, a selection of rarities release. Who's the other songwriter in Splurge?
It's mostly me, but we collaborate on bits and pieces. Nev writes bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
When Greg Arnold was in the band, which he still is spiritually speaking, there were a few co-writes and a bit of collaborating.
When a track is dropped then from a release for whatever reason, it doesn't fit into the landscape, or it's this or it's that.
Too many slow ones.
Who makes
You've
that decision?
Got it. Too many slow ones. That's the splurge.
Is term. That the songwriter's decision, or is it hard to say? Well, gee, but.
I had a certain fondness for this song that nobody else really shared.
Right.
The producer, James Black, really liked the song,
mm-hmm.
and we persisted with it quite a long way.
Yeah.
But I think just the weight of opinion in the rest of the band that it didn't really belong with the other stuff was the thing that knocked that on the head.
And have you remixed it for the release?
Yes, I have. The three main tracks have all been redone for the record. The other ones are all finished at the time, got to mastering, just got put off the record late. But
yeah,
these three were quite fun because Kiss Me didn't have a proper vocal on it. So I sang another vocal, and we got Letitia Maher, who you know, to come and sing a backing vocal on it. And that was about it, really. We just had to take some stuff out. There were some dubious strings and quite a lot of guitar overdubs. Mm. And once they were removed, underneath was this nice little song.
Yes.
And so you've got this out at the moment, Splurge Unheard. But you're also working on another album for next year?
Simultaneously.
Oh, right, eh?
Yeah, so this is all available through the Possible campaign. So we're an independent band, and we've managed to make three records over the journey so far. But I've been watching the crowdfunding thing with interest, because it seems to me that the opportunities for bands to interact with their audience mm-hmm. in the traditional way is on the decline. Gigs, record shops.
Mm-hmm.
And this struck me as a way that we might be able to connect with people who like our music in a, direct way.
Now, for people who haven't heard of this before, Possible's a website.
Possible's a website which hosts people's projects that they're trying to get financial support for. It's not just music, it's books, magazines, films.
It's Possible with a Z.
Possible with a Z is correct.
POZIBLE.
There are some other platforms that do the same thing.
Yeah. And one of the things that you can do through this, I note, in terms of relating to your audience, is you'll even give them a preview listening party and private acoustic and full band show.
That's right. Well, it sounds like a bit of a novelty, but a lot of people do these things, and I reckon it's a good direct way of saying, well, look, we'll come around to your house.
Yeah.
Four of us, we'll sit there in the lounge room, we'll do a show for you. If you want the full band, we'll do that. And we were trying to think of some other ways that, it would mean something to someone who liked, indie guitar music.
Yeah.
And so we come up with a couple of other novel things. One of them was, I'll help them write a song.
Mm, nice.
I've written a few, so I can probably help out with that.
Yeah.
Or, if someone wants to make a record, one of the packages is making a record. And there's the other usual stuff, which is just, not just, but collections of previous CDs and the download and the new thing.
So I did see you and Nev washing some cars outside a house the other day as I went past.
Not do anything.
Yeah.
Someone's done the car washing thing already. I couldn't think of anything quite as, you know, wacky as that.
Well, play us another song, Greg.
Okay, cool. I shall. This one's called Under Your Thumb. It's another one of the ones that we did remixes on. And this one was just like it was. Mm-hmm. It had a guide vocal on it. We re-sang the vocal, and that was about all that happened to it. It was another nice story, too, because it allowed me to reconnect with Greg Arnold, because we hadn't worked together for a few years, and I went round to his studio, and he sang some backing vocals, and we did a bit of wig-out guitar on there. It was all fun. This is just a good thing of getting everyone back together.
So, and you and Greg were the Every Brothers?
Well, myself and another songwriting partner I had back in Adelaide, a guy called Terry, was the original Every Brothers.
Right.
And then we sort of morphed into a Melbourne version of it when, oh, it's a very long story, but we went to make a record. Terry's car broke down. Greg and I ended up making the record. So we sort of adopted the name temporarily.
I'd say that's where you went wrong. You get on too well. Everyone knows the real Everly Brothers. They don't speak to each other.
That was more like the original band, actually. That's the reasons that bands stop. And yeah, anyway. No, Greg and I are still on very good terms, and we're doing a show together.
He's
shortly.
A good man, Greg.
Okay. Under Your Thumb.
I don't know what it's all about. I've been there and I still did not find out. I don't know what's going on. Everything that's going down is staying there too long. Everybody says that it's happy to want to be happy, cause no one ever stays that way for long. But look what I've become. I'm under your thumb. Under your thumb. Under your thumb. On the way up, it was such a blast. How was I to know that it couldn't last? On the way down, I could see where I fell from. Who would have ever thought it could take so long? Everybody says that it's easy to fall in love. Believe me that it's harder to stay that way for long. Well, look how low I've gone. I'm under your thumb. Under your thumb. Under your thumb. Everybody says that it's so easy. Yeah, they're gonna fall in love, believe me. Everybody thinks they've found the one, but when it comes undone, they couldn't be more wrong. I'm under your thumb. 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 Under your thumb.
Greg Williams, Under Your Thumb. Currently, Splurge are offering their unheard gems via
Possible.
Possible.
www.possible.com/.
And what about your own website, Greg?
Yeah, you can find all the stuff on the website or on our Facebook, which is Facebook/Splurge Band.
Mm.
All the stuff's there. There's a video where we talk about why we're making the record like that and why we think people might be interested. So please check it out.
We've often had the Little Stevies here on our Saturday soiree. They just conducted a successful crowdfunding campaign for their latest album as well. And you've got a producer's hat. You're producing Letitia Marr at the moment.
Yep,
and,
that's right.
And Greg Arnold, of whom you spoke, produced one of our other progeny, Georgia Fields.
Oh, Greg's a good producer. He is. And done many interesting projects.
Tell us about Letitia's record.
Well, this is a, you know, it's a step along from her last one, which we were talking about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We're just, we've got the same drummer from her last record, and we've got Grant Comerford playing bass, who's probably known to people in folk and blues world. And we're, it's not exactly an alt country record, but we're just trying to toughen up her sound a little bit overall, because she's got a good batch of new songs, and we're just early stages on that. We've done the beds, and we're looking at what we've got and hoping to finish that off in the next couple of months.
Are you a writer by trade?
Yes, I am. I'm a journalist type writer. It's kind of the way I got involved in music, really. I wanted to write about it. And yeah. When I left school, I went to be a cadet journalist at the old Adelaide Advertiser when it was a non-Murdoch publication. And, applied my trade there for about 3 or 4 years and got to do that, be a rock writer and go to concerts and tell other people what I think about it.
What cadet were you? C with the margin? B?
I got to be a D.
All right. What did you start on as Ian?
No, you start as cadets, then you become D, C, B,
right.
A.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so after you've been 3 years, you got to be a D. It was a great environment to work in.
Well, and, very symmetrical, because Ian started at the Geelong Advertiser.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, what were some of the just concerts you covered and things like that? Any memorable ones?
Ones I said nice things about or ones I said not nice things about?
Any.
Both.
Meatloaf.
No. Oh.
Yeah, I had to see Meatloaf 2 or 3 times because he was very, very popular, and I wasn't a big Meatloaf fan. And remember, it was the time of the controversy with him rushing on and off stage to get oxygen because he wasn't able to get through the show. Apparently, I said something scathing about that. And
when would this have been? Like late 70s?
Oh, yeah, it would have been late 70s. Yeah, making myself sound old.
So,
well, that's because I am.
You were on to him well before his grand final appearance.
Yeah, and Billy Joel as well. I took the flayer to Billy Joel.
Did
one time.
What was wrong with Billy?
Nothing was actually wrong with Billy. It was quite a cool show. It's just that I'd seen the same show twice in about 12 months and nothing had changed whatsoever. Exactly the same patter, exactly the same everything.
Oh, mind you, even his between song patter was
everything
the same.
Was like just down pat. Which is why they call it patter, I guess.
Yeah. But there was one hit after another. I saw it. I thought it was extraordinary.
It's hard to scoff, and I think the reason I started doing music was because it's better doing it than scoffing at other people.
It's hard not to be cynical, really, isn't it?
Well, you know, people ask you for your opinion all the time, and eventually you just get into a thing where you say more and more extreme things to make it sound more interesting. And, I quite understand that in music you're there to be shot down in flames, really. It's you're being judged and people like you or they don't like you.
All I can recall is that all reviews of your performances on Countdown were very favourable. No one scoffed.
I only saw it recently, and it was actually quite fun to see it because there's a few of them on YouTube now. Yeah. But the first one I saw was put up by a friend of ours in Adelaide who runs a folk show.
Oh, nice.
And he's been doing the same folk show what's it called? 3D now for ages, and he has an extensive collection of videotapes.
How good is that?
I don't own one because I don't know if you remember, but those things were kind of luxurious at the time. Someone had one somewhere, but it was kind of fun, you know. Fun to look at your younger
self. Speaking of fun, you're obviously having fun doing this. You're just playing a simple acoustic guitar, nothing plugged in, no drum kits, no added over. It's just
fun.
The guitar and your voice, and you're obviously enjoying yourself.
Yeah, I am. Thanks. Yeah, it is. I mean, my view of, whether something works or not's got to do with whether it works like this, And if it works like that, then I go off and have a bit more fun with it. But if it doesn't work like that, I don't think
it's never going to.
I think so. I mean, there are lots of... Look, there's lots of music in the world. There's lots of different kinds of music, and there's a lot of modern music being made today. Nothing to do with the way that I think about music, like, singing songwriterly craft. And that's all cool and good, but I mean, for me, it all just starts with sitting down playing a guitar and seeing if it tweaks my ear.
Okay, leave us with one.
Okay, this is another one from the Rarities collection. It's called When I'm Down. It's a bit more of a somber kind of tune. This was a favourite of the band, and when you're asking who decides who takes the songs off the record. James had this great saying: "You have to kill your babies." He kept going. Doesn't matter how much you love them. Let that one go. And this one we had to let go because too many long songs. Anyway.
Greg Williams, thanks so much for coming into the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Splurge have their own Facebook page. They have their own Twitter account, their own website, their own SoundCloud, their own Vimeo, their own Tumblr, their own Bandcamp. They've got it all. Just put Splurge and Greg Williams into your search engine and you'll find out all about them and you can hop on board.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Good to have you back, Greg.
Yeah, very much so. Could have been champions Saturday soiree.
Far away, he can almost
from her album Sweet Forgiveness. That's Bonnie Raitt and My Opening Farewell, as penned by Jackson Brown. This is the Could Have Been Champions, and this is our Saturday soiree, about the fourth or fifth for the season. Plenty more soirees to come this season.
Very un-Bonnie Raitt sort of tune, wasn't it? You expect her to be a bit bluesier than that. I had no idea who that was.
Yeah, she likes to lean back on songs a little bit, and I think she may have done the harmony vocal on Jackson Brown's album on that track as well. So
go.
That's the time.
So she had a little bit of investment in that song.
Her body of work is quite substantial, is it not?
Very much so, yeah. Bobby. Is Grammy
she,
winner?
Is, oh, so she has been suitably recognised?
Yeah.
Right. You mentioned all those things that Greg Williams is on, like Facebooks and websites.
Social media.
Well, we're on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Tom Gardner has
opened
up the Twitter account tonight by saying, glass of local Redcliffs Red and listening to At Could Have Beens on at ABC Mildura, Swan Hill.
Yeah.
Life's good.
That's good.
Thanks, Tom.
Good on you, Tom.
And a big shout out to our friend Nurse Lizzie as well, who's corresponding via Facebook, and she's up in New South, and they're a bit troubled with the fires up there. So thinking of you, Lizzie, and glad you're on board listening. I hope you're having a good time with us this evening.
And you can always communicate with us on the OD Cologne, 1-300-800-222 is the number. 1-300-800-222. You can tweet it at Could Have Beens, and you can also go to the Could Have Been Champions Facebook page. It's all there. It's all you do. Or you can write to us.
Mm.
I always look forward. Dr. Jack, I haven't had the annual letter from you in Brisbane. Could Have Been Champions, GPO Box 9994, Melbourne 3000.
And Michael has let us know that he's listening online. It's 3:30 a.m. in Denver. And Michael is very jet-lagged.
Is he?
I think we're the perfect thing for jet lag. Mm.
Changing planes at Denver, I've done that.
Have you?
Really?
Mm, the Mile High Airport.
Is Denver, Colorado, high altitude?
Yep, and it's also, it's a hub.
Is it? Of what?
The airline hub.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like for all over the states?
Yeah, you tend to change there on your way to somewhere else because your plane doesn't go straight there.
Now, you've both been to America. I've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we have listeners in America.
We do.
I'm thinking of going there next year.
Me too.
Well, stop thinking and do.
Where are you going, West Coast or East Coast?
I'm not sure. Where?
How long are you going for?
A week.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan.
By yourself or with friends or family?
I can't say too much.
Right.
Touring party. I think I've got to go to Los Angeles. Is that where you go first
you
of
have,
all?
Do you have to go
LAX,
there?
Yes.
Mm. Then do I
Would
go
that just be your port of entry or is that a place you wish to visit?
Well, that's the point of entry. And then do I go to the Denver hub?
Well, see, you don't have to if you get.
Give
see,
me a champagne shortcut,
especially because you're planning this in advance. You could make San Francisco your port of entry.
I think, I'm going to Augusta.
Oh, it's an golfing occasion.
Mm.
Well, there you go. You can go straight from Los Angeles, but why not make your port of entry San Francisco? So then you can overnight or have a couple of nights in that happiest of cities and then travel on.
But
whereas Los Angeles, you might as well be...
But a wise man once told me,
if
you're going to San Francisco,
yeah,
be sure to wear flowers in your
That's
hair.
Right.
I think
and
I'm past that.
You will meet the gentle people there.
Well, if you do go to San Francisco, be very careful not to leave your heart there.
Look, exactly.
you've got a choice, and you just have to work on it a little bit, but you can make that your point of entry. And
okay.
I try to when I go to America.
How long would it take to get from LA to Augusta?
It's a long time.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought everything in America was
because
people tell you that America fits into Australia.
That's always, getting from one side to the other always takes longer than you think. You're sitting there on the plane, we must be nearly there by now.
But isn't LA to NY just like going from Sydney to Melbourne? It's not.
No. Who said that was easy?
Good point.
So
I need lots of advice from you, Blaise, because you are seasoned travellers.
My guess is that if you were going to, well, you'd go to Atlanta, wouldn't you, to get up to Augusta? Probably.
Yeah.
You'd probably change planes at Denver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the other one, I'd like to go again to a case in point.
Mm.
The younger ones, absorbed and, nay, besotted by Hollywood. So you take them on a holiday. You go to the beach, and then they say, that's not good enough. They want to go to Hollywood. They want to go and see the studios. Well, you've bought them every... You take them to the movies all the time.
You go on the Walk of the Stars. Don't tread on Marilyn.
Well,
take them to the Gold Coast.
There's a studio there. They've got a movie world there. Who needs to go to Hollywood? Have you done the movie things in Hollywood?
I've been to a couple of the movie things.
No, none of it.
Done the tour to look at the stars, Holmes, and all that?
No,
didn't do that one.
See, Hoag's
Saw I did down in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Did a bus tour. But I tell you, go to Disneyland and go to those movie things if you like standing in queues.
I'd rather go to...
Here's a better idea. Don't go to Disneyland.
No, we've moved on.
I think you should stop thinking about this and do it. I think you should book now.
But
definitely book now. Get organised.
Andy has let us know that you go Melbourne, Dallas, Fort Worth, Atlanta, Augusta. That seems to be the way to go.
You have to go through. Oh, so you fly from Atlanta up to Augusta. Okay.
It would seem so.
Yeah.
Is Augusta up somewhere, is it?
Yeah, at the time I went to Atlanta, I didn't go through Dallas-Fort Worth, but it may have changed.
Are you playing golf or just looking at golf?
Yeah, you've got to have a game.
Bit of both.
Mm.
Hopefully.
You're being very circumspect.
Yeah, you're keeping secrets.
Well, I should be talking about it privately.
Why?
Oh, I don't think they know at home.
Because it's a late Easter next year too. You could be in a bit of bother because it's always in April, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they don't listen, do they, Kay? They're busy doing their homework.
Yeah, looking at their phones.
Yeah, but of course Greek Easter will be even later. You're in trouble.
Thank you.
For goodness sakes.
Oh, dear. I think I'll take up lawn bowls.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect thing to do.
Mm.
Could have been champion Saturday soiree.
Love of mine, is this your design? Can we not just take our time? Turn the lights on, but leave the lights low. A second chance to take it slow.
Beta Radio. And that track was called Either Way. Beta Radio, you'd know Jeffy, are from Wilmington, North Carolina. And that was the beautiful songwriting and singing of Ben Mabry.
Oh, they're not very far away from Augusta.
No, pop in and see them, boss.
You didn't want us to bring that up again, did you? No, we just couldn't help it.
No, I might have a good gig going.
Actually, can I ask you a personal question? I don't know.
Can you do it off air, please?
Well,
there's
no.
There's been too much.
I want to share it with
public,
you on air.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, a lot of our listeners play golf.
Yeah.
I don't take to golf. I'm quite happy to carry someone's bag around and natter to them, try and put them off. What are you off, as they say?
14.
Now, how good is that?
Average is about 18, so it's just a little bit under average.
So if you wanted, could you be a professional golfer?
No, really. Professional golfers don't get any number.
Don't they?
No, they're off scratch or better. Scratch means zero.
Right.
But most of the pros, the real top pros, would go to golf courses like we play on, like public courses, and probably be off what would be called plus four or five or six or whatever, which means on a hole where, we try and have a par, they actually have to have a birdie to do as well as you. So, I had some young bloke playing off plus eight the other day, which is extraordinary. Anyway, that is correct. No, very hard. Very hard.
Well, while we're talking golf, I think you need to set your sights here. So you're going to, where is it, Augusta?
Oh, can we talk about it?
And then next year, the year after that, I think you should go to St Andrews.
Well, I'd love to next. I've never been to St Andrews.
Well, I think you should put it on your, what do they call it? Your
Hyacinth bouquet list.
Yeah.
1-300-800-222. I'd like to know. So I spoke to someone who went to St Andrews this year and got to play there.
You've been to Carnoustie, haven't you?
No.
Oh, I thought you had.
No, I've not been to any of the British courses.
I think you need to start planning all of this.
Mm. Well, I keep running into chaps who go over there and play all the courses in Scotland and Ireland and stuff and come back and rattle off all the names of them and all, and they show you photos of playing at La Hinch, where there's a donkey walking around the course. And
see, that's true golf.
Yeah.
More Australian courses should get donkeys.
Exactly.
Is that one down there at Anglesey? Does that still have the kangaroos?
Yes, it does.
But that's a two-bob donkey, isn't it?
Spoke to someone who played there during the week, actually, and said there were a lot of kangaroos about.
Okay.
And what do they play off?
Yeah, exactly right. They don't get membership. They stay outside.
They don't need it.
No. Have you played golf, Jeffy?
I have played it.
How'd you go?
I'm not in a hurry. I've probably in my life played maybe 30 holes of golf.
But your son was having a crack at it a couple of years.
Oh, yes. Thankfully, he got over it.
Didn't he go on with it?
Once have I done the full 18 holes, and I collapsed in a heap at the end of that. I had no idea how tiring it was.
You know my objection?
What?
To golf?
Yeah.
What is it?
Too hard.
It's too hard, and it gets very tiring after a while. I reckon three holes is enough.
Mm.
Well, there's some people say this as people become more and more time poor, that golf courses, and I think some are being built now with only 12 holes, so they have a 6 and 6 rather than 9 and 9.
Is that right?
Mm. After three, I'm ready. That's it. Thanks.
And it usually works out every week when you do get to play.
You've done three better than me.
That it should have only been a 12-hole game anyway, because it usually only have about 12 good holes out of 18.
Yeah.
So you've never played it at all, Billy?
Oh, I think I played with Cove and Mark Brown once down there at Queen's Park.
How many holes?
Well, 18?
Yeah.
It's a lot. 18. By the time I got to about the 15th, I thought, is this ever going to end?
No.
Rick has joined us. He's in South Frankston. G'day, Rick. What are you off?
What am I off? Mm. I'm off about...
He's off the line.
Yeah.
No, he's gone. Bad connection. We might have more luck with Billy, who's in Williamstown. G'day, Billy.
G'day, comrades. I'm looking at selling my boat at Williamstown in the magnificent full moon.
Lovely.
Little bit of a breeze, but nothing like the gales that were blowing.
Hey, Bill, just before you go on, if you say you're in your boat off Williamstown in Melbourne.
Well, to interrupt, I'm at a marina in Williamstown. Yeah. Give it a plug, the Anchorage Marina.
I know it well.
And my ocean going yacht's in a pen, berthed in stern, so I'm looking over the stern. But what I wanted to tell you. I'd been at the aged care facility where my 95-year-old father is, with him most of the day. He's probably only got 24 hours, 48 hours left of him. He's pretty rooted. But he was like many of those Victorians. He spent 50, 60 years of his life criticising Queensland and Queenslanders and then went up there to die, but he couldn't live under Bjelke Petersen. So he came down to New South Wales at Tweed Heads with Neville Wran. Well, that's another question with him with Neville Wran.
Yeah.
But he had a hole-in-one at the Tweed Heads RSL golf course.
Fantastic.
When he was 80.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you this other yarn. We lived in Heidelberg, and we used to, we're staunch Collingwood people.
Yeah.
And we got on the train at Heidelberg and go into Jollymont on the day of the grand final. There was a queue that came back from the gates of the ground to the railway station. And we're in this queue from 10:30. We get into the ground at about 12:30. And that rotten Kenneth Luke in 1958, he said, I won't have these people queuing outside the ground any longer.
Sir Kenneth.
With all respect, comrade, you're right, Sir Kenneth. and so my father said, well, I'm never going to a game again. But I picked him up when he was 87, 88 at Tweed Heads. And I said, let's go up to the Wacker and we'll have a look at our team playing the Queensland side, Brisbane. Oh, he said, I vowed not to go. I conned him into going, so he went up there. I put a scarf around his neck, and we went to a pub, and he copped a lot of ribbing from the people. Mm. We went into the match, and we're about 10 minutes into the game, and remember, he hadn't seen a match for 60 years. He said, Jesus, he said, it's changed a bit since I last saw a match. So,
I just
put in this call to have it on the record as a tribute to my 95-year-old dad who's on his way out.
Oh, that's terrific, Billy.
I hope it goes well. Billy, my father's 94, and he had his first hole-in-one at 85 years of age, so we've got a bit in common there with the golf.
Yeah, good on you. Well, I hope your dad's doing okay, and he can hang in for a while.
Good luck with yours, Billy.
Yeah.
And hasn't Billy got an ocean-going yacht in the right place?
Oh,
in a marina and in a pen.
With a full moon.
Yeah, perfect.
Could have been champions. Approaching our ultimate hour of the Saturday soiree. News upcoming, after which we return with joy.